Welcome, theme park going geeks, to episode 64 of the Nerd Stravaganza podcast, where we're all Imagineers and all islands host adventure. I'm Tom.
I'm Ryan.
And Rick is away being a rock star, laying down tracks on his band's latest album, leaving us to carry the Ganza torch boldly forward, which I think we will succeed in doing. Truth be told, he's with us here in spirit. And it's a good night to be here, whether in spirit or person, because tonight we are happy to follow up on our episode 60, wherein we discussed Game Nation, with an interview featuring Rook and Ryan of Game Nation. But before we get to the interview, we'll start things off in our usual fashion, with what I can only imagine will be a somewhat abbreviated, but I'm sure no less compelling, Geekly Weekly, Weekly Geekly Roundup. Brian? Since Rick's not here and you're the only other person besides me to turn to, why don't you go first?
I'm going to take all of Rick's time. I don't want it to be abbreviated.
Great.
So I got an offer from Crunchyroll because I guess I had been a member for a while and let it expire and didn't even realize because Polar Bears Cafe is free. But I got an offer from them for a 360-day trial. And, of course, they wanted a credit card to activate that. So now I'm at the moment a free member, well, a free trial member, but then I'm going back to being paid. So I'm looking for new and exciting anime to watch again, having just discussed new and exciting anime in an episode or two ago that I should start watching.
If I may make a suggestion, everybody is very impressed with Attack on Titan, so you might want to give that a look-see.
That was actually the title. See, it's working already.
Great.
I bought this latest Humble Bumble, which will be gone by the time you hear this, so clap for me, but you can't get it. It had a lot of good games that I've been wanting. It had Sacred 2, Risen 2, and Saints Row 2, and the soundtracks for all of those. And I'm a sucker for soundtracks, so I bought into my first Humble Bundle. I feel hipstery now.
Those seem like pretty, at least Saints Row, those seem like pretty mainstream games for being part of the Humble Bumblebee. Do they not?
Yeah, I think that was a bigger title than I'm used to seeing. It wasn't Bastion or that thing with the chicken red, but like full release games that I had been searching for cheap on my Xbox.
Cool.
And lastly, and I'm very sorry to rub this in your nose, but I did attend MetroCon this weekend, one of my absolutely favorite conventions.
Mm. Yeah. Well, people in Seattle can't go to MetroCon because it's in Tampa, so thanks. How did it go?
It was really good, man. It was really good. And I know it's not as big as some conventions, but I really think it's everything a convention should be. It was great. It was big enough. It was small enough. It didn't have anything I didn't care about. It had a great atmosphere, a great vibe. It wasn't 105 degrees. It's a good con, man.
But did it have the Ice Road Truckers or the Deadliest Catch Fishermen?
No. I think they decided to go with Bleach cosplay instead.
Nice. Wow, full week. Is that does that round it out?
That rounds it out. That was my weekend. So, and now we're here.
Well, this is the highlight of any week, but mentioning this in this would be an exercise in recursion. Recursive redundancy, let's say. Yeah, so we won't do that. I guess that brings it over to me since, well, I'm the only other one here. On the gaming front, been splitting my time between Animal Crossing, Mass Effect, and the what are increasingly taking on the feeling of chores more than anything, 3DS Street Pass games. Every time the green light on my 3DS goes off, indicating that I have a Street Pass, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I have a half hour to spend, man. This is I'm really having to budget my time now, and it's cutting into my Animal Crossing time, so I might have to give up on my obsession with using the Street Passes immediately. Apart from that, oh, this is exciting. I got my beta invitation for Final Fantasy XIV, A World Reborn, for the PlayStation 3. But I left my PlayStation 3 in Florida, and I'm in the Pacific Northwest. So that pretty much goes unused. I wonder if I could toss that over to you, Brian. You got a PS3?
I do not.
Maybe I could sell it on eBay or something. That's a thought. Anyway, so that kind of stinks, but what are you going to do? Maybe it'll still be valid when I get back to Florida. Apart from that, our last episode related to fitness, finally, plus the fact that the gadget was malfunctioning more than I could really take, finally prompted me to replace my Fitbit. So I got a new Fitbit, and it works properly, and I've gotten my walking numbers right back up to where they should be. A couple of 10,000-plus step days. That was awesome.
I know, and you were planning on upgrading. Did you do that, or did you go with the same?
You know, I was going to upgrade from what I have is called the Fitbit, the little basic Fitbit tracker. And I was going to upgrade to the Fitbit One, which is the fancy, like, cool one with the neat display like Rick has. And unfortunately, I went to a few different stores, different chains and everything, and all I could seem to find was the burgundy one. And I really wanted the black one. So just ended up going with another Fitbit. Why can't I think of the name of this dumb thing? Zip. Fitbit Zip. That is the model I have. It's nice to have a functional LED, or I should say LCD display again. And it occurred to me that once I registered this one with my account, my old one's now dead. Because when you register a new Fitbit, you have to be able to read the screen to see the pin that it displays. So,
ooh,
yeah, I killed that
Fitbit
one.
Fitbit Zip.
It served me well, but, you know, I think when I stepped on it and ruined the screen, I messed up the battery seating or something too, because I was like losing days of steps, and that just was not sitting well with me. So
your stepping wasn't sitting?
Stepping wasn't correct. Yes. Well, well done, sir. Finally, big news on the gadget front in my world. I have had the iPhone 4 for quite a while now, for more than a couple of years. And I was an original adopter of the iPhone. The iPhone 4 was a pretty big step up from the original iPhone. The iPhone 5 was drastically underwhelming. So I was resigned to just keeping my iPhone 4 until like the iPhone 9 came out or something, you know. But I happened to go into an AT&T store, and I was looking at this Android phone, which was the frigging size of a small tablet. And I'm like, I like that this squares a tablet and a phone, but I don't have, like, I don't wear cargo shorts, so I don't have room for this thing anywhere. And the nice saleswoman proceeded to show me around to some other phones, and I took advantage of a deal they were having wherein I purchased a Galaxy S4. So I own the original Galaxy S, so I made a return to the Galaxy S4 family, and a Samsung Note tablet. And I got both of those for a very reasonable price and got some nice upgrade, you know, pricing, because I was both of my corporate discount and I was eligible. So I'm now the proud owner of my very first tablet and a really cool phone. I'm really enjoying both so far.
Welcome back to the Android side.
Yes, I imagine I'll be here for some time. I have not written off Apple or the iPhone, but they're going to need to do something better than add a half an inch to a phone for me to want to take the plunge onto the next Apple phone. So thank you for my welcome back. And I think that concludes my update, which brings us to our interview, which we promise you, listeners, was not recorded prior to or after this.
It was recorded at the exact same time.
Yeah.
We have what's it called? A time turner from Harry Potter?
Yeah, sure. Harry Potter and the time turning turntable of time. I don't know. I don't know Harry Potter well enough to comment. But with that said, let's get those guys on right now. Let's call them up through our virtual time turner phone. We are now happy to welcome Rook and Ryan, respectively, the creator and master storyteller of Game Nation. Welcome, guys.
Lovely to be here.
It's great to have you here. We've been looking forward to this for some time. The whole concept of Game Nation, based on how we understand it, really almost seems tailor-made for us. We at the Nerd Extravaganza podcast are huge into video games, theme parks, interactive entertainment, you name it. And it seems like we pretty much laid out a checklist for something we'd like to see in a real-world entity, I guess. And you guys went down the list for us and are in the process of making it. So very happy to have you here.
And we're nice enough to do so in our own backyards.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do have a question.
Yeah, hit it.
Where's Rick?
Rick is a part-time podcaster and part-time rock star, so he's off in the studio recording with his band.
I didn't know Chuck E. Cheese stayed open this late.
Ouch. Rick is happy to entertain kids of all ages. has been known to steal the stage from the Chuck E. Cheese in-house band from time to time. So.
Nice.
Yeah, he'll be glad to know you're concerned for his late working hours at Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, his career. Hey, those coins can't make themselves.
That's true. That is a great point. Now that we've gotten the introduction and career advice for Rick out of the way, I guess the obvious next question for our audience is, who are you guys and what are you doing vis-a-vis Game Nation? What is Game Nation all about?
Well, I'm Rook. I'm the creator of Game Nation. Oh, and a quick synopsis. My team has built, designed, and ran companies like Disney, Universal Studios, and Lucasfilm, and they teamed up with me to do it again. We're building the world's first video game theme park and resort.
I'm telling him that he is getting a bit away from the area where we have the best signal. We've been traveling around a lot to try and make this dream happen and put it in a very, very wonderful place. We want to make sure that the experiences that we're able to create for individuals really take that next far and are something far beyond what anybody ever expected, hoped, and asked for. Well, if you ask for it, we want it to be 10 times better than what you even asked for. So we're making sure that we're in a place where you can hear our creator very, very, very directly.
Cool. I like the sound of that already. Would you say that your mission then is to actually the ultimate goal, the ultimate mission is to have a physical theme park where you're sort of a player as much as you are an attendee? Is that what I'm reading into this?
Yeah. Well, the mission is to create a realistic experience that immerses you into the story. So it is very real. When you have theme parks today, it's really about the characters that you've read and watched in the movies, where in our theme park, it's about you, your character, your identity, your legacy.
Interesting. So if the Ganza crew and I were to show up, would we have some sort of a story of our own unfolding or some kind of a profile or something? Or would we achieve things as we were interacting with the park?
Yeah, well, first of all, I listened to what you guys scoped out, and me and Ryan were having a lot of fun with it, and you were on point with a lot of stuff, which was kind of cool. Yeah, it was kind of cool. So I want to validate a lot of what you said. You know, we're on the same page there. But yeah, it's you can create, and this deals with Celebration and the park overall. But yes, you can create your own character, or you can port your existing character that you played to the games, or you can choose from a list that we have. So wherever you are, you know, it's very accessible.
And team play is not only accepted but encouraged, especially you as the Ganza crew, I believe you call yourselves, and others call you. It's a very important part of us that you have that kind of synergy and that you're able to create those kind of team-based competitions as well as individual. We want to encourage you to come with your friends, and we want to encourage you to be able to have that kind of play.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we just kind of made Ganza Crew up on the fly, but you do not have our permission to steal that or let anybody else use it. That is our name.
Fair.
So let's see. I guess it goes without saying. Are you guys, when it comes to the gaming side of things, are you yourselves lifelong gamers? Do you have any experience in the industry? Any aspirations along those lines?
I literally have my first gaming console in my living room, and it's called Pong.
Wow. Yeah. How about you, Ryan? Same thing, a lifelong gamer?
Way, way lifelong gamer. I mean, I used to play video games with my father back when Pong was not even just there was more on Atari consoles than Pong, right? There was these World War games and all these other kind of crazy things that I played a lot of as well. And I've noticed that everybody who's a gamer that really plays a lot of games has some kind of a crazy niche game that sustained them. And for me, my crazy niche game was something called Ephemeral Fantasia for the PlayStation 2. And it was really this crazy side niche game where you got to play a crazy character who had a loot that talked for him and got him into a lot of trouble and just create a lot of interesting situations. I talked with Freddie Wong and his crew. They do a lot of YouTube stuff. And Rocket Jump, Video Game High School, all that. And I asked them a very pointed question, like, what was your niche market game? And one of the guys on their crew had Guitaru Man, which was really crazy. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to play that. That game is also absurd.
Yeah, it's familiar. I know it's probably lost in my memory among the zillions of other games I played, but the title
sounds familiar, and for some reason I'm mixing it up with, I think, Beautiful Joe in my mind, which is probably not at all fair.
No, no, same feel, but different. It's like the rock band of Beautiful Joe. It's ridiculous. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's funny you guys mentioned Pong. I mean, this is going back to the periphery of my early childhood memories, but my dad brought home, even before the Atari came into the living room, there was a dedicated Pong machine. I mean, if I recall right, and Ruth, correct me if I'm wrong, you got Pong and you played Pong with this machine, and that was pretty much what it was all about.
Yeah, my grandfather got it for Christmas, and I asked him if I can take it home with me, because I was totally enamored with it. And my other cousins, you know, it was fun, but I was just like, dude, I got to have this. And so I talked to my grandfather, let me take it to home after Christmas, after he gave it to the grandchildren, and I never returned it.
Little did he know he was investing in your future, because look where you're heading now.
Exactly.
I think it's funny that you say that, because Atari is actually one of our first endorsers. They've been very, very vocal about being willing to endorse us.
Wow, that's a big deal. Yeah. That's
glad to hear they still exist.
Yeah, no, they put out games still on a rare occasion. They're mostly a label, from what I understand, but I'm not exactly 100% sure with that.
They're still the most recognizable brand in the video game industry, and one of the most recognizable brands on the planet.
It's true.
Yeah, you couldn't ask for a more, I guess, respectable name, really. That's really awesome. So, Lifelong Gamer is obviously taking a pretty interesting road into the industry. I think an unprecedented path, based on what you're telling us about Game Nation. How about the theme park side of things? Are you regular attendees? Are you fans? Do you have any favorites?
I have four daughters, so we've been to Disney, I think, 7 times this year so far.
Uh-huh. Nice. Pass holders, or are you just paying full freight every time you're rolling?
Okay. No, we're annual pass holders.
2 out of the 3 of us here on the Ganza crew, one of which is not Brian, I regret to say, are pass holders.
Yeah, that's cool.
How about you, Ryan? You a big theme park guy?
I love a lot of the things. I love a lot of the Magic Kingdom rides and attractions, and I love a lot of the Universal rides and attractions. I think they're pretty fun, and I'm actually going to be heading out that way in the next month or so, actually. I have an excursion out to Magic Kingdom that I'll be doing.
Cool. Yeah, I'm Epcot has grown in my esteem a lot over the years, which is kind of sad because Epcot is not as good as it used to be, not as good as my memories of it are. But I still don't mind popping over for some kind of lighthearted fun at Magic Kingdom now and then.
And I like the private games of Epcot that are very, very, very popular. Like, there's this one game. There's, like, these games that you play and you're supposed to win points at, but they're not actually publicly discussed. They're kind of like these private games that just grew up into something bigger. Like, Drinking Around the World became very popular with some of my old Army buddies and whatnot. It was really popular.
Sort of a meta layer of games that are not even official.
Yeah, it's like the secret menus of restaurants these days. It's like a private game that only you know about.
Just imagine a theme park that actually embraced that interaction.
Wonderful, huh?
Good idea. Rook, I think we cut you short. Were you about to say something theme park related?
Well, no, I was saying that was one of the things that I've noticed. And what inspired us is, you know, I kind of feel like I have more technology in my living room than Epcot has. And not because Epcot's an amazing product. And again, we go there all the time, especially for the flower festival and the wine and food festival. But what you said was, you know, you kind of grew out of it. You know, it kind of lost some of its nostalgia. And I think that's true. And I think that's where we're picking up from.
Yeah, it breaks my heart a little bit. Epcot isn't like basically a permanent showcase of the latest technology and gadgets that you could see. And I can see where Game Nation could really grab hold of that baton and run with it.
Yeah.
So we sort of tied together what in my mind are the two halves of Game Nation, gaming and actual theme parks. Do you guys have a favorite? And I know it's hard to pick a favorite, so pick a favorite, not necessarily the favorite. Favorite video game and
Battlefield 4.
Battlefield 4, okay.
That was hard.
Universal Studios.
Without really, so just right off the top of your head, that's the hottest thing in your mind right now.
No, my favorite game is gonna be Battlefield 4. I'm a Battlefield guy. I really am. Okay. I love it. You know, I can't say I play it every night these days, but I play it quite often. But my favorite is Universal Studios for a theme park.
Islands of Adventure or Universal Studios proper?
Islands.
Yeah. First time I went to Islands, I wondered why they bothered with Universal Studios in the first place. Like, wow, this is what you should have done from the get-go.
The world changed. I mean, you know, that's, I mean, Universal Studios started as a back studio tour back in California. And they actually hired Bob Ward to basically take it and redesign it and make it a theme park. And he is one of our executive team, one of my dear friends and executive team member of Game Nation. And so they took the studio tour and made it more of a permanent, you know, existing movie-based park. And then that's what brought him over to Orlando. And then he reinvented theme parks by doing Universal Studios' Islands of Adventure. So it's progressed. And I'm very, I mean, and we're very, very ecstatic and humbled that he's working with us to reinvent theme parks again.
That really bodes well for the future of Game Nation, I think, because if Islands of Adventure was a step forward on the theme park theme, you know, coming from Universal to that, then I can't even imagine, especially in light of all the new video game related theming you're talking about, what Game Nation will be now from IOA. Like, it'll be like the next step in the theme park evolution, possibly.
Yeah. And again, I humbly say, you know, we're very fortunate to have them. And that's exactly it. You know, we've grown up, we've changed, we've shifted. And he recognized that paradigm shift. And he saw something in me when I told him what I wanted to do and where I saw things going. And he jumped in right then and there. It was quite amazing. You got a second for a story?
Yeah, hit us.
All right. So one of my dear friends, I've started out in this industry doing entertainment venues and nightclubs since 93, then grew that into marketing advertising, then grew that into video games, and then I combined it all to a single focus called Game Nation. But what, a person that was very important to my career is Mark Mentor. He owns Game Recruiter. He's right there. He's right next to you guys, sitting with you guys, right? Right down the road. And so when I called him up and I said, Mark, you know, you've been so helpful to me and, you know, this is what I want to do next. I wanted to do a video game theme park. What do you think? Will it fly? And he said, oh my gosh, yes. And I got this guy I want you to talk to. Now, Mark is a good friend of mine. And Mark will call me up and say, Rook, what are you doing this weekend? Mark, I have no idea. What am I doing? He goes, you're going to the University of Miami. Why am I going there? Because you're going to lecture. What am I lecturing about? Just make it up. Sure. Or you're going to come sit on this panel with me, right? He's really cool. And so I have a lot of trust and faith. And so he said, I want you to talk to this guy. He knows something about theme parks, but he played it down. Right. I mean, really made no big deal, but that's okay. It's Mark. He tells me jump, I jump. And so I called him up and Bob, and I said, you know, Mark told me to give you a call. And he said, yeah. I talked to him. And, you know, next time you're in Orlando, come, you know, come see me. And again, you know, I got four dogs, right? So I was like, I'll be there this weekend. So I drove up to his studio and I basically said, you know, this is how I envision it. And this is where I think theme parks are and where they're going. And quite frankly, where do I park my flying car? You know, we're not set up for that. And we're, we had a great foundation. But where does it go from here? And he actually looked at me and said, you know, I recognize that paradigm shift. And I left 5 years ago looking for you. And I said, awesome. He goes, and I'm going to build this theme park with you. I said, awesome. Who are you? neither told me who they were, or you know, Mark didn't tell me it was not Bob. I think it's because they thought I'd, you know, be kind of freaked out, right? But
sure,
he basically explained, you know, he was the original Imagineer with Magic Kingdom, and then was hired by Universal Studios to take their back studio tour and make a theme park. And so I was like, I guess we're doing this. So it was cool. We've been best buddies ever since.
Oh, for good reason. You've definitely got a pretty ambitious and exciting, I would say, common goal. So that's cool. That's a great story, actually. Yeah. On the evolution front of theme parks, I'm just throwing my own two cents. It seems like right now it's all about getting maybe competing intellectual property in, but not necessarily pushing the tech envelope or the presentation envelope. You know, I mean, not to say the rides and attractions haven't gotten more sophisticated, and not to say I'm not excited about the developments, but you know, Universal will bust out with Harry Potter, and then Disney rolls in with, okay, well, here comes Star Wars. And it seems like they're definitely both battling each other on the IP front, but I don't know that my experience at a park has changed substantively over the years, and that's where I think you've got a real opportunity here.
Well, as long as they treat you like sheep, you're going to continue to end up doing it. I mean, if you wait 20 to 120 minutes in front of a ride just to get in, just to get out, and wait another 20 to 120 minutes, if you're lucky, to get into another ride, the important thing about Game Nation is that that's not built from the ground to be a problem, that you're built from the very beginning for you to be able to walk in, have a great time, level up, and gave all the achievements that you want. And then the rides are just the next step in that. So you get to become something far better.
I should at least get an achievement for waiting through the line and then going through the ride, should I not?
Well, you also have to look at experience. Not that they'll ever see it this way, but you know, we're not looking to compete with those. We're going after a market that's not only underserved, it's not served at all. So it's very, very important to understand that the experience for Game Nation is going to be totally unique and new, but it's also game towards our niche, which is the video game enthusiasts, where theme parks today, they work. I mean, and when you say that, they work. I mean, you know, they're very successful and what they crank out are excellent stuff that just absolutely thrill fans globally. But what we're recognizing and what we're seeing is that there's a generation out there and a niche out there that wants something that's more immersive, that wants the roller coasters to fight back, you know, that wants to be a part of their personal story and be integrated purely into the experience where they control the way the rides end. And you know, and that's what we're doing. But, you know, in your heart, as a gamer, you go, dude, I want to jump out of this chair and run around that set. And so that's our experience, our expectation when we walk into our park is game on. It's a total different experience from a thrill ride or a spectator ride. So it's different. And so from that perspective, it's a niche that will stand on its own and not, you know, again, from a competitive standpoint.
Yeah, I could definitely see where that's the case. I can definitely see I can see a possibility where the rides are sort of akin to maybe an instance in a World of Warcraft or something like that, where you've got the main world is compelling enough, but then if you want to go do a specific thing, you know, you pop into this ride and achieve that particular goal.
And I guess Ryan was kind of speaking of it, but when you go to the theme parks, you know, you go I guess this is another analogy, if you don't mind, but I believe theme parks today are built for Clark Kent and Clark's family. And so when you come there, you get on a ride and you get a glimpse of Superman, and you see kind of what Superman can be, but then you step out those doors and you're Clark Kent with your family running to the next ride. And it's a race from ride to ride to ride to ride. We're building a park because we'll have rides like that, right? But on a different level and a different type, but you know, large rides. And for us, those are kind of our main missions and stuff. But we're looking at the story in between the rides because we're building a park for Superman. So you leave Clark Kent at the door. So it's always about Superman and Superman's achievements and Superman's missions that are collective throughout the whole park.
I really wish Rick was here because he and I share this.
Look, pizza doesn't bake itself. I get it. But love you, Rick. But also that's what we're doing for Celebration. And that's what's really, really cool is that when you were talking about the overlay of downtown Fort Myers, you saw the GNs. Those are what we call not points of interest, POPs, points of play. So it is about your character, where you are going to be leveling up and you are going to change the way Celebration is. So if you do slay the dragon and save the princess, everybody's going to know it. It's going to change the story and it's about your personal character. And we're also going to write you in our graphic novels and make you revered for what you've done and you've achieved.
Oh, that's cool. So you're shaping canon through your actions. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll definitely have to carve our name into that.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the easiest ways to become famous is to save the princess and her suddenly knight you. Because that's permanent. That lasts forever. And that's something you can take all the way to the theme park if you so choose.
You hear that, Brian? We're this is our chance to make history.
That's Sir Brian.
It is.
Oh, sorry, Sir Brian. I'm sorry. Yeah, we are here. We'll take our
chance. It's going to be a very, very wonderful time. We're going to be doing some other stuff, too. But I know that was one of the things that you guys were interested in. We wanted to validate you. You guys are speaking our language.
Cool. I'm glad we had the resonance that we thought we did. And to conclude my thought from a moment ago, one of the reasons I was wishing Rick was here is we enjoy rides at theme parks, but we enjoy the ambiance and actually like picking through and looking at the little details, just the way the set pieces are done in the buildings and stuff like that. And that's particularly true, at least for me, in the Harry Potter section. In Islands of Adventure now, I spend more time like trying to look in the windows at the little effects they have going and how the buildings are built and so on than I do trying to stand in line for rides. And if you added interaction of some kind to that, or the ability to achieve things just through kind of existing in that environment, that just rings my bell like all day. I'm pretty excited about it.
There's a lot of really awesome stuff there. In fact, we were listening to your show, and somebody was talking about a dirigible and how wonderful that would be.
That was me.
But they couldn't. Yeah, you couldn't think of a way at first which it would be important other than, you know, traveling one person to the next. And first off, I got to say to you, you apparently haven't played Final Fantasy III enough, or VI, depending on where you're at. There's a whole interactive battle in that game when you're on a dirigible flying down as you're being attacked from mechas and dragons and all sorts of other crazy stuff. So
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I didn't want to detract you, but there was something that I definitely wanted to get out there that was important that you touched on, and I wanted to kind of answer. Well, two things, and then we can talk about why we're doing Celebration, but we get emails all the time, and they're page scroll after page scroll from fans saying, and very giving us detail, like, we ran across this park, or I read it here, or a friend told me, and here's an idea I think you should do. And it's just very detailed, well-written, and it all ends pretty much the same. You can have the idea, just make it happen. And we take that charge very, very serious. And so what we did because of that, we created what's called the Game Nation Assembly. And the Game Nation Assembly is where you, the fans, get involved. It's where you guys discuss ideas, where you guys vote on those ideas, and we as a company listen to you. So you actually really do have an opportunity to drive the creative direction of the park. Because, look, we're gamers, right? And the last thing we want is something built and then crammed down our throat. We want to be a part of that journey. And Celebration is, we're going to have our inaugural Game Nation Assembly meeting. And that's all, one of the other reasons we're doing Game Nation, besides the interactive role playing. We're going to be there sharing our ideas with the park. This is where we are. This is where we're going. And what do you think? And get feedback and actually make decisions together that will, you know, that we will follow through with. And that's unique, but we're gamers and we know that relationship's important. And as you asked from the beginning, are we gamers? It's what we wanted. And so that opportunity is for the fans to do it as well. Cause, you know, on the promise that Game Nation is your theme park, that's how we're delivering that platform, that communication, that organization where we have a real relationship one on one.
I like it. I really like the fan/, you know, participant involvement. That's really cool. Ryan, to get back to something you just said a moment ago, or a question you asked about Final Fantasy VI, as Brian will attest, that is my favorite video game in history.
Oh.
So, yeah, absolutely. I hope it ranks. I never did get around to asking you what yours was. I hope that ranks in like the top 10.
It is definitely on my list of favorite games. Picking a favorite game for me is so difficult because I've been playing so many of them for so long, from the really, really strange Eastern ones to the ones that are very primarily in America. I think right now, my favorite game of all time right now has obviously got to be the one that I'm still actively playing, because whatever game I'm actively playing has got me in my imagination and a grip hold, but it's Crusader Kings 2. And not even for the fact that it kind of reminds me of Risk, but way, way cooler, is that there's a secret game being played amongst people online where they take somebody from a movie show or from history, and they try to take over the world as that individual. And right now I'm playing it as, I think his name is Tyrius, the midget from Game of Thrones.
Tyrion.
Tyrion, that's the one. Yeah, and yep. So I'm taking over the world as Tyrion and giving him the respect I feel like he deserves.
Wow. Now you've rung a bell with Brian. Brian, you are a longtime Game of Thrones, otherwise known as a Song of Ice and Fire fan, are you not?
I am.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I picked it up. I actually read a interview with George R. R. Martin, in I think it was Newsweek or Time, or just one of those, you know, periodicals that tackles everything, right after the third book came out. And I was just trying to get anybody to talk to me about it. And I was, no, you should read this book. They had the first book on sale for like $3.50. They had a special edition to get people into it. I was just giving those books to everyone I knew. Come on, no, read it. It's good. Read it. Talk to me about it. And it was like, you know, 7 years later, and the TV show came on, and now people want to talk about it.
Yeah, so now I try to talk to Brian about that topic, and he's just like, oh, yeah, now that it's on HBO, you're into it.
Well, Brian, something you might be interested in. Last week, I think it was, or maybe almost 2 weeks ago now, San Diego Comic-Con. however long ago that was, week and a half or so, there was this live music show being done, and he ran across the stage, grabbed the guy's guitar out of his hand, and started smashing it on the stage, and then ran out. And the guy got on the mark. He's like, "I can't believe it! That man just ran in and killed the guitar for no reason."
That's great.
Something very interesting that you just hit on, by the way, something very important, is that gamers as a whole aren't as far and diverse as we think. We all have some semi-different interests, but we are all kind of together in the idea of gaming, regardless of how niche we are. So while some people have a situation where they can go to a game store because they're card gamers, and they go and they play card games at a store every Friday, or, "Oh, well, I hang out with my friends and I play video games, that's kind of my niche." Regardless, we are all looking for a place that we can actually enjoy ourselves. So one of the things that we're really doing here is empowering you as gamers, and us as gamers, and us all collectively together, to have a place and create that place together that we all want to play in.
I like to think of it as our home. We're creating a home for gamers.
We volunteer to move in that case. It sounds great. Brian, I think you had a question related to sort of how intellectual property and sort of the themed lands, if they were going to exist, would work. Is that correct? I'll let you state the question yourself, Brian.
I think that was my topic in our first episode. I was really curious how we were going to see, you know, is it fantasy land? Is it Final Fantasy land? Is it Swords and Sorcery land? You know, like how they're going to go thematically with that, I guess.
Yeah, and I can speak a little bit to that. My overall answer would be that you gotta come to Celebration. But we're basing the worlds on genres. We have Etheria, the realm of Etheria, which is medieval. We have Chroma, which is cartoon. We have Zero Dawn, which is future. We have the alternate, which is alternate reality. For your esports question you brought up last time, we have Game Nation Sports. So it's the sports world. So we're actually basing it on video game genres. That way we can have different IP in those physical worlds. And we're also rolling those out. If you go to GameNationHacks.com, you can pick up, you and your fans can pick up a free digital copy PDF download of Game Nation Archives, where you're seeing us roll out those worlds and that, and, you know, those realms to you. And then at Celebration, you're going to be playing in them.
That's awesome. I was going to ask what the tie-in was between that product and the parks. And
Well, the two folds. Game Nation Archive tells the how Game Nation came to be. Since we're gamers, right, we like stories and we like a lot of depth to it. There's a reason why Game Nation exists from a story perspective, from a character's perspective. And so this tells the lore of Game Nation and how it all came to be and how we all, you know, met and so on and so forth from a fictitious standpoint. So there's that. And it introduces you to the worlds and major people from the worlds and how it just came to be. Then we have a game that will be also released at Celebration. Well, a little bit before Celebration, actually, called Third Rule, which tells you how to play in that, how you can be your character or choose from our characters, and give you an opportunity also, if you play well enough, to go back full circle into the archives and into the game with your character linked to your identity.
Yes, absolutely. One of the most important things to us was to be able to give that credit where it was due, that famous credit where it was due, and allow you, if you have a great story, because there's a lot of people who like to write up the stories of when they played like Dungeons and Dragons or Vampire the Masquerade or any of those games, right? Even Shadowrun. Shadowrun is very much so known for it, where you kind of keep somebody who keeps track, like a scribe, of all the crazy things that you did and just kind of post it online for other people to read. Well, we kind of took that to the next step. And by posting and creating all of that buzz around your characters, we're willing to take that story, illustrate it, and put it in a graphic novel and give you the dream that you always ever wanted, to see your characters live beating the crap out of things or hooking up with that general. Like, whatever it is that you do and however you want to enjoy it, we want to empower that as an idea.
So when we say this is your park, we really mean that. And with the Game Nation Assembly, we're doing something totally unprecedented where, you know, the fans really can get involved and help drive the creative direction of the park. We're also have the Game Nation Archives in our game, where we're also taking the fans and achieved, publicizing that and giving the credit where it's due. It's all about them. And it's about your story, so you can leave your legacy in Game Nation.
I got to say, I can't think of any other theme park or really any live action experience that lets you etch your name into history, apart from, as I think Rick mentioned in the first episode we had discussing Game Nation, the big slabs of pictures at Epcot Center. But that pales in comparison to what you're proposing here.
Well, actually, in the role-playing game that we have, it's already been prevalent. Some of our original founding members and people who just really wanted to make this happen, Big Dave, Bastion, and Sicilian, they got actually written into the story in the role-playing game between the chapters of how the game is played and how the game works. That actual overarching story that goes through the entire Game Nation Third Rulebook is actually the story of their characters meeting for the first time and creating their first guild.
And the archives has a similar twist too with the company, people that are attached to the corporation and some of the founding members. What we're calling is true stories of fictitious events.
I actually have the document open now and I'm looking through, I see where you've definitely got some people enshrined here.
That's our founding members.
Okay, and that's the FM prefix that I see in front of people's names. So
yeah.
We will link, obviously, to where people can get a hold of this so our listeners know what we're talking about.
Yep.
It's all a game, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, those people are already famous, and we just want people to create more stories because we really love it so much that we really want people to just get involved and help join us in making this as awesome as it could possibly ever be. We want them to turn it up to 11.
Nice.
Exactly.
So you're creating, you're creating a mythology or a fiction surrounding this whole thing as much as you are a space for entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Game Nation's yours, and you might be trying to play to take Game Nation over for your clan or your side.
Yeah, that's our
Absolutely.
Goal.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think we sort of hit on what the ultimate goal is for the creation of the full-blown interactive theme park. Were we on the money when we were of the mind that Celebration was the first of a series of events that are sort of going to snowball into the eventual, I'll use the term brick and mortar, even though Celebration is going to take place in brick and mortar, theme park?
Well, yeah, and you're going to learn a lot more at Celebration of what we're doing, the strategy of how we're rolling the park out. But Celebration is a precursor to our first permanent facility. And so in doing that and celebrating that, and you kind of also said it kind of like a beta, like a test, I look at it more this way. Obviously, our team has built the biggest and the baddest brands on the planet, from Star Wars to Universal Studios to Disney and so on and so forth. What's important, though, is that we don't lose touch and become a corporation that, you know, just drives down one direction, that we don't lose touch of the fans and make sure that they have a say-so and they're part of that journey. So Celebration, one, we're going to celebrate gaming. We're going to have a great party with music and people from the industry and have video game competitions. The other is to actually play, to start getting building up your characters, start playing with, releasing the graphic novels, getting into the game, and also hear about where the park's going, and you get involvement to hear and make decisions together. So Celebration is really our first step into the marketplace where you, the fans, can really start controlling the destiny here.
I like that. I like that it's not just, sort of a collection of tents and display tables showing you concepts. It's you're playing from the very beginning, from the very earliest iteration you're participating, and then you're sort of guaranteeing yourself a spot of some prestige down the road.
And we're looking at Fort Myers because, we have some very – and we're not going to talk about it tonight, but there's logistic reasons why Fort Myers. And so we believe that there's a great interest in South Florida for this project. And we've done a lot of work. I mean, we've been working on the company for 4 years actively. And it's now time for the fans to step up and help us make this happen.
Yeah, that was going to be the next thing I was going to move on to, was to ask about the physical location. And I think Fort Myers is you've got basically accessibility from Central, West, and Southeast Florida at that location. So I see it being a great spot.
Is the nicest airport in the United States.
Yeah,
is it
Fort Myers?
Now that,
yeah,
yeah, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the county is very, very friendly. And so, you know, and so logistically it makes a lot of sense. And again, understand what we're trying to do. We're going where there is no market, right? Because we, you know, as gamers, we all have big ideas. And we have, and we want to make sure that we're able to execute them now and for generations to come. But you're going to learn a little bit more about that shortly.
Oh, good. Well, that was going to bring me to sort of the beginning of our closing discussion. As we mentioned at the beginning, we here at the Nerd Trapagenza podcast, we're very excited about this project, and we were hoping between now and Celebration, which is November, first weekend of November, is that correct?
Yeah, first, second, yeah. Third.
We were hoping to stay in the loop, sort of stay updated on that, whether that is having one or both of you folks on the show now and then, or by just getting an update for you to report to our listenership. So I hope that you are amenable to that, because we'd really like to keep our listeners up to date.
Yeah, I will always be willing to jump on, and even if Dan is out in the world, Rook is often having to fly a bunch of places, but regardless, I will always be available to be on the show.
And you know my feeling, you know, as well. I you know, I'm there too. I love it. You know, we get requests all the time for interviews from you name it, especially when we announce the project. And I always like to cater to our indie podcasters, because it's really you guys that make it all happen. You know, and you don't get the thanks or the credit you deserve. So I'm always going to jump on, because this is, you know, I've been part of that industry for a very long time.
Oh, that's appreciated. Yeah. And it's been it's been really great having the both of you on today. In conclusion, we should end with the most burning questions I think most people probably have, sort of peripherally related to Game Nation, at least as they relate to video games and that sort of thing, and geeky things in general. All right, I've got the first one. Are you going to get the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4 or both?
I already put my deposit down on Xbox One.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Well, my associate in crime here is a major Xbox One guy. I saw the E3 thing, and when it started up, it went zoom. Some people get that. For those people have my heart, and I'll give them a special private if they message me on Facebook. but I'm a big PS4 guy, and that's where I'm going for.
Wow. So we've got a house divided here between you guys. Wow.
It takes all gamers.
That's true. I, for example, and I know you won't judge me when I tell you that I own and have used once or twice a Wii U. You know, it's a very nice.
Oh, the Wii U is great. I love, there's that, oh God, Zombie U. I love that game. Yeah. Really good.
I love that. I love that game, that particular one game.
I'm admittedly an Xbox fanboy.
That's fine. It does take all kinds, and the world would be a less interesting place if it wasn't for passionate camps of fanboys.
But I do have PlayStation. I do have Nintendo. So you know, I have them. But
right. Yeah, you're not super biased, but it's good. You've got some bias. At least you can make a decision.
And I don't know if Ryan's really going to get a PlayStation 4, because if he doesn't get an Xbox One, then I'm not going to be able to buy him video games, and he'll be playing by himself.
That's true. Yeah. I will actually be getting both of them, because we have our weekly development meetings, which are usually played on the Xbox or Minecraft or any number of things.
Wow, that sounds like a pretty grueling workplace you guys have.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
For my part, I'll let you guys know that I'm getting both systems. So, you know, no matter what you choose, I will be available to game with you.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Hey, and, if you want to, you have a 360?
I do.
My game tag is Rook AE space Game Nation.
Rook space Game Nation. All right. Yeah. Making a note of that.
As it's space, as actually space bar space, not SPACE.
I was typing out SPACE too.
But I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I got it. Sure. I got it. Brian, you are a player. What direction are you going with? PS4 on this one?
Yeah. It looks that way so far. I love my 360, but I don't like the integration, I guess you'd say, of the one.
Don't like all the features, quote unquote. Got it.
I think they've done a great job after E3 of listening to what the fans actually had to say, and I feel very empowered as a gamer that Microsoft is usually willing to go, oh, you don't like all that stuff that we thought you would like. All right, well, then we'll make that optional. Because there's a lot of people who are like, we love it. And there's a lot of people who are like, don't do that. So yeah, I feel that that's very great.
See, Xbox. So the problem is Microsoft needs the Game Nation assembly.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. You need to take a picture of your playbook and listen to the players. Right. I'm with you guys. Some of the features, if they were opt-in, I would think were really cool. I didn't like the idea of them sort of stepping on people's necks and making them, you know, mandatory. So, okay, final question. This is just a 1 to 10 scale, and you have to vote somewhere on the scale. There is no opting out of it. Star Wars Episode 7. We've got Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher somewhere on treadmills getting in shape and going over lines together. At least this is what's going on in my imagination. And Harrison Ford doesn't need to do any of those things because he's awesome. But we got Episode 7 supposedly in the works. Not supposedly, it's confirmed in the works. On a scale of 1 to 10, you can go over 10, but you can't go below 1. How excited are you about it?
Go ahead, Ryan, you first.
Well, I know my associate is a huge Star Wars fanboy too, and that's awesome. I'm going to start. I'm starting with 11, mostly because Mark Hamill was also the voice of the Joker, and I love that guy.
Absolutely. Yep.
True that. True that. But then he stopped that part of it, which was sad. His last gig with it. But yeah, I hate Star Wars, so. I'm probably going to say, I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to see it. I don't know if I haven't. I have to vote, don't I? I haven't seen enough to give a good call to it, and I've liked everything I've done so far enough to dedicate half my house to it. So I would probably say a solid 8, and I'm sure I'll be a 11 when they got more of how it's going to shape up.
Once you find
Star Wars room.
Oh, we know.
Listen, if Luke turns evil, then I'm a 21.
Hell yeah.
As he should. You know, if he falls in his father's footsteps, then I think we got some, you know, good justice going on, you know, to the franchise.
And are you in the same camp then with Brian, and that you have read the post Return of the Jedi novels and something like that happens? I've never read those, so.
There was actually, I collected, have you not seen my Star Wars collection?
Yes, I have, because you were speaking at a convention I attended a few years back.
Oh, that is right. Yep. Yes. No, I, just from the toys, there's very collectible exclusive toys where Luke is actually a Sith.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and that's kind of – but I know the storyline goes that too. But during that time, that's where – you know, Star Wars was doing a lot of toys, and they took a break, right? And they started kind of getting into the expanded universe and all that, which was off the novels and that kind of stuff. And that's where that came out of.
I see.
And there was a video game. There was a video game way back in the day where you got to meet his wife and you got to see that entire empire appear and fight underwater. It was – I believe it was for the Snooper – no, it was N64, Nintendo 64, I think it was on.
I'm unfamiliar. Please feel free to share that with me. I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I don't. I think it was Empires. It was like Empires at War. I don't even remember. But Empire it was at a War. Really, really.
Sounds like a familiar title.
Yeah, I think so. There was totally a whole post 6 game that was awesome. You got to play a little bit of action against the Fett himself, and it was crazy great.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with this. I'll be honest. I know, Brian, you're hoping that the Gungans make a big appearance.
I am hoping that's what drives Luke over the edge.
There you go. There you go.
And he just starts slaughtering him and goes to the dark side.
I killed them. I killed them all. The women.
The children and the annoying ones, which includes all of them, actually.
I just got to say about the Gungans, what a frighteningly technological race for a bunch of hipsters in the water. I love me some hipsters, but these guys, they literally use zero tech and yet still had force fields that attacked back at droids. That is awesome.
Yeah, they had these like bubbles that you could, that organic creatures could pass through, but yet held out thousands of, millions of cubic liters of water somehow.
those were well-trained jellyfish.
Oh, is that what it was? They were animals? Okay, now it makes more sense.
Jeez.
Well, with those deep questions out of the way, I think we can cut you guys loose. Any final remarks or comments before we adjourn?
I know I have one thing to bring up that was lightly touched on, but Celebration, for those of you who have been paying attention and listening and want to be part of something great and incredibly awesome, October 31st is a Thursday this year. And the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday thereafter are November 1st through 3rd. In Fort Myers, we'll be celebrating all the kinds of gaming that you can possibly imagine. And we just want you to very simply come out and play with us. And it'll be a great, wonderful time.
Yeah, you can leave your costumes on. You don't even have to change it and just use it for 3 extra days.
It just clicked with me that, wow, yeah, that what a value you're going to get out of your Halloween cosplay costume that year.
Exactly. So this year's Halloween costume has got to be really, really epic.
Absolutely.
No, all I want to say is, no, I appreciate you guys, you know, having us on. We love you, fans. And again, this is your park, so we just encourage you to go to GameNationParks.com and go explore, play, get involved, because we're making this happen, baby.
Awesome. We'll be linking that up in our show notes, and we appreciate you guys being on, and hopefully we'll be hearing from you between now and Celebration. We definitely want to have you on right before Celebration kicks off. And so with that, we're going to call it an evening. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back. And Brian, what are your thoughts post-interview? I thought it went well, and I'm excited to learn more about Game Nation for my part.
I think I admitted in the original episode a little bit of skepticism just because it seems like such a ginormous endeavor. I'm feeling a little bit better about it.
Yeah, owing mainly to the fact that they seem to have thought through a lot of the questions we had.
They've
thought
through a lot, and I kind of don't think people with that level of enthusiasm are as fly-by-night. Like, they obviously know something about the finances that we don't, which makes perfect sense. I'm not complaining, but...
Yeah, I've spoken to enough delusional people in my time to know the difference between someone who's delusional and someone who's, you know, optimistic for a reason. And they seem to have their head screwed on straight, and they seem very committed to making this thing work. So I'm
going to be excited. A good November 1st.
Yeah, at a minimum, we get to attend Celebration, which is hopefully the first of many such events. I am really very much looking forward to that. And
I can't wait to have my own graphic novel.
Oh, we're going to be etched into history here, man. We got to roll in big and go in for the big win on this thing. Yeah, we got to discuss some costuming. We got a lot of plans to lay down between now and then. I mean, they reminded me, I this should have clicked immediately, but I mean, Halloween ends and then we roll right into the event. So we got some serious costuming strategy to lay down. You like, by the way, do you like the name Ganza Crew for our cool gaming crew? You want to name us something else? The Ganzoids, the Knights Ganza.
Ooh, the Knights Ganza has a ring to it.
I like that too. The Knights Ganza, the Knights of Ganza. We'll work it out. You know, Rick isn't into realmy stuff all that much, so we might have to be like the Cyber Knight Ganza or the Robo Ganza Knights or something like that. But we can make this work. And what did you think of their answer to your question regarding sort of theming and how, like, sort of gaming company IP would fit into, say, Fantasyland? They actually had, and listeners, you can consult the actual, I guess, graphic novel / information sheet to see this, but they actually have names already in mind for a lot of their different lands. What did you think of that approach?
I saw those names on their site, and I didn't really know what they meant. Like, they were obviously different themes, but I didn't know how they were going to be different lands, or if they were going to be just different themes for the weekend, or, you know, I had no idea what they were going to be. And I kind of like what they're going with that. And I was really excited to hear the inclusion of the cartoon land.
Chroma? Yeah, and the name Chroma. That is cool. I like that a lot.
As long as they don't go the Islands of Adventure route and make it out of flammable asbestos, it'll be really cool. I like that aesthetic.
That's all part of an end game strategy at Islands of Adventure, where they're just going to torch the whole place and it's going to go up in a big destruction event when they're done with it. But I don't think Game Nation are doing anything along those lines. So cool. Yeah, I was excited with the way they are sort of theming things, and I really like the idea of participation from the fans and the ability to sort of get yourself written into canon. That's pretty cool. And I'm curious. I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with this.
My only concern with that is just what a fuddy-duddy I've become. I hope I don't find it silly when I'm there. I hope I don't stand around like the old man on the lawn yelling at kids to start acting normal.
Well, that's something we're both going to have to overcome, because we were the people who probably were at the top, like, leaderboards for reporting people with names we found not fantasy enough back when we played EverQuest.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
So I hope we can get past that when we're in the actual park. Otherwise, we might find ourselves banned.
The assembly will vote us straight out. You guys are no fun.
You guys are ruining our fun. Fun is not an element of a pure role-playing game. Yeah, I mean, apart from that, I was excited about the whole thing. I really like the location of Fort Myers. It's Orlando seems to be saturated with theme parks, and Fort Myers is south enough that it's just a straight shot across the river of grass known as the Everglades for us. So that could work out very well indeed for us. And apart from that, I guess I would say that, well, there's really nothing more to say. It was a good interview, and I'm excited to learn more as we move a little further down the calendar. Anything else before we say our farewells?
I think we should say our farewells.
Okay, on to farewells. First of all, listeners, farewell. But before you go off and farewell or not well or however it is you plan to fare, I encourage you to swing over to iTunes to subscribe to our podcast, to rate us maximum stars, and to write us a review, good, bad, or in between. And if Rick were here, he would encourage you to seek out alternatives to iTunes, I should say, if you're not an iTunes user. Take a look at nerdstravaganza.com, where you can listen to the show, rate the show, you can leave favorable comments, and as well, you can feel free to email us at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com. Notice I didn't make Rick's typical mistake of www.nerdstravaganza.com. I think I'm going to take that man's job.
And don't forget to like us on Facebook. We like attention, and as you can tell, we're clearly up and comers now that we know Rook. So get in on the bandwagon, like us on Facebook, join our exclusive closed group for insider fun.
And I think I'm gonna make this a permanent thing after the Meathead Gym episode from last week. Don't forget to check us out on Stitcher. Just because Stitcher sounds way cooler when you growl it. With that, farewell, listeners. We will see you at the Game Nation. Oh, and peace.
Celebration.
Yeah, correct. The Game Nation celebration. Peace. Any more? No, just peace. Bye.